Welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. I am Pamela Ferguson, and joining me in studio today is my beloved sister in Christ, Tamara Evans. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you, Pam. Good to be here.
And today we have a special guest co-host, Ariel Evans. Ariel recently graduated from Acadia University with a Bachelor of Arts in Theater and a minor in Theological Studies. Welcome, Ariel.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. Today, audience, we are discussing Proverbs chapter 9, the year of wisdom. And our topic is two invitations. Which table will you sit at? Proverbs chapter 9, Tamara and Ariel, presents two invitations, one from Lady Wisdom and one from Lady Foley. Both call out, both prepare a table, both offer a path, but only one leads to life, only one leads to understanding, and only one reflects the heart and character of God. This chapter paints a picture of the daily decisions we face. Every choice, big or small, is an invitation to sit at one table or the other. Wisdom's table is built on truth, discipline, and reverence for God. Foley's table is built on shortcuts, impulse, and spiritual carelessness. The beauty of Proverbs chapter 9 is that it doesn't leave us confused. It gives us spiritual clarity. It shows us that direction is often determined by discernment, and discernment is shaped by what we value. So it's that time now, audience, to go get your coffee, get your tea, your water, whatever your favorite drink, and join Tamara, Ariel, and I as we explore how to identify these two invitations and how to choose the table that leads to clarity, purpose, godly character, and life. Welcome again, Tamara and Ariel.
Thank you.
So let's start out by looking at these invitations. Proverbs chapter 9 uses the imagery of two women to contrast wisdom and folly. Both are calling. Both are inviting. How, Tamara and Ariel, can we discern whether the invitation leads to life or regret?
When we think about Wisdom, Lady Wisdom, she builds her house with seven pillars. And when we think about the number seven, we think about completeness. And then we think about divine order. She has ways in which she's going to build this house. She's methodical. She is purposeful. She is intentional. She prepares a feast. There's an invitation to come and dine and receive life. And that is rooted in the fear of the Lord, because we know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So she represents God's revealed truth, and she represents it in a way that is very clear, very concise, and she invites us to come. Lady Foley, on the other hand, is loud and boisterous. She's seductive, undisciplined, and she sits at the door. You know, like how we say, almost in a biggity way.
Yeah.
And say, come this way. She offers stolen water. Mm-hmm. Now, when you hear something stolen, shouldn't you run away from it? Mm-hmm. It doesn't belong to her. How could you offer something that does not belong to you? It's stolen. It's a counterfeit. And it's rooted in rebellion and deception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as well, you mentioned the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And while sometimes in the midst of making a decision, we don't necessarily have that time to run over and consult, and that's why we ought to stay in the Word of God and stay in wisdom, you ask yourself that question, does this invitation weakens my reverence for God? Mm-hmm. Or is this withdrawing me closer to God? Mm-hmm. And we talked about reverence in past podcasts. It's to fear God. It's not to be afraid of him, but it's in awe of him and our worship of him. So whenever we're making these decisions, does it uplift God or does it weakens my relationship mm-hmm. with God?
What I found really interesting in my studies is that, you know, the first nine chapters of Proverbs, it really has this imagery about wisdom. And then when you go into chapter 10, it really becomes more practical. But in both chapter 1 and in chapter 9, it has the same verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And that means wisdom starts with God. Mm-hmm. And then wisdom also ends with God. Mm-hmm. And usually when repetition is used, we know that in literature and in the Bible, especially when repetition is used, is usually to hammer down the point. Mm-hmm. And the point is, like we said, when we make decisions, when things are presented to us in life, we always have to consider, does this honor God? Does this show respect to God? Is this decision that I'm making going to be beneficial for me from a spiritual standpoint? Mm-hmm. Now, and I was also thinking as well, sometimes there's this saying that I really love, is that discernment is not always figuring out truth from untruth. Mm-hmm. It's figuring out truth for something that almost sounds like truth. Mm-hmm. So another thing that came to me, especially as a young person, a lot of questions we have is, what if this particular thing that I would like to do, I mean, it's biblical. And from a practical standpoint, it's ministry. I would love to be involved in every single ministry in my church if I could. But what ministry is what God has for me to do? And you know, the Bible talks about serving the Lord with gladness, but is it the best option for me at this stage of my life? So that's when you bring in godly counsel, you bring in older people to say that, okay, maybe in this stage of your life, you can do things and not everything will be so clearly laid out in the Bible. But that's why you have older mentors and older women who can come in and through experience living a godly life can help you make those decisions.
And every good thing is not good for you.
Right.
And that's why we need the spirit of discernment.
Yes.
I really got insight from Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. One of the steps, I believe, in accepting wisdom is accepting growth. Mm-hmm. Wisdom grows us. The Bible is saying, when you correct a wise person, they will love you. But when you correct a mocker, or when you correct a wicked person, generally, they will hate you. Mm-hmm. And that was really impactful to me from the perspective that a lot of times as believers, we think it's our duty to save people. We think it's our duty to snatch them off the wrong path onto the good path. But it's not. God just called us to live this life and allow him to do it. So not to get into arguments, not to get into conflict with people who don't see things the way that we see it. Wisdom is, if this person shows a type of attitude that they will not accept the correction, leave them alone. Or better yet, leave them to God. Mm-hmm. That person, you would know that person by their actions, who show that they are open to correction, they are open to the wisdom of God, and God leads you to say something to them to correct them. And of course, we have to say it in the right way. We don't try to bring people down, insult them, embarrass them when we correct them, but we correct them in love. They will receive it and they will accept it.
Yeah, when we talk about the simple person, the person who, you know, you feel like you're wasting your words when you give them instruction. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So the instruction that you're giving this person is from God's word. They already don't believe in God. They don't believe in his way or his will. And they don't want to hear what he has to say. And if we look in the world today, there's so many demonstrations against what we know is right and righteous. It's people calling good evil and evil good. And these are some of the things you sit back and you look in God's word and say, oh God, your word is so true. Mm-hmm. You have people who reject truth. They don't want to hear that what they're doing is leading them to destruction. And so they will despise you. They will hate you. Mm-hmm. And we see this all over the world. They hate what is good. They hate Christianity. They don't want to hear anything about Christ. And this is an example of those who have rejected truth. And no matter how you try to give it to them, they will trample over it. So that's the example for me on what we see today of the rejection of truth and not wanting to hear wisdom.
One of the leaders in my young adult group a few years ago, she said this and it stuck with me ever since. She said that you can't be someone's Holy Spirit, which means that you cannot make them do anything. You cannot force them to do anything. And I find that it takes a lot of the responsibility off the Christian saying that I have to make them do this particular thing or I have to make them listen. That's not your job. That's one of the foundational things, even in missions work. When you go out and you evangelize and you outreach, you can give people the information, you can share the gospel, but the Holy Spirit has to work in them in order for them to even receive that. And if you go and you're not receptive towards it, then like the Bible said, when Jesus sent his disciples out in the various areas in the Gospels, he said that if you go into the town and they seem to reject you, dust the dirt off your feet and just keep moving. And that's what we have to do as believers.
Yeah, because it's God who draws us to him, right? Not us pleading and talking eloquently to make people come to know God. Right. It is God who does the drawing. So, Ariel and Tamara, what does Wisdom and Foley's invitation teach us about decision-making?
We see both of them are calling. Mm-hmm. And the reality is every choice is either forming you into Christ's likeness or deforming you mm-hmm. into a person who is foolish. So I think when we talk about making decisions between wisdom and folly and helping others to make the right decision by giving them counsel, it's a form of discipleship. I'm connecting with you because I believe that there are some decisions that you need to make, some hard decisions that will cause you to reflect the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if you sit at wisdom's table, you will grow in understanding. But if you sit at folly's table, you will drift towards a spiritual death.
I really like this chapter in the book of Proverbs entirely for young people, especially because when this is something I was thinking about the other day, I was like, oh my goodness, as a young person, I have so much options presented to me. It feels like I can literally do any and everything. I can maybe pursue this degree or pursue this and this job. And then there's so many options. But wisdom teaches us that, like we said earlier, not every option that you have is good for you. And I found the verse in 1 Corinthians. It talks about all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Mm-hmm. So just because I can do something, just because it's nice, doesn't mean that you should do it. Because, and then I think a bigger challenge that we as young people face is as growing in our careers, we want to put more hours in the work. We want to do all these things, but we have to start thinking, is the pursuit of this career also interfering with my service inside church or my time with God? So, like I said, there's always downsides to when we do things. So that's why we have to have wisdom.
But excitement is not evidence of wisdom.
No,
it's not. How then, Tamara and Ariel, does Proverbs chapter 9 show reverence for God as the starting point for the right path? We talked about that scripture that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Because when you think of God and the decisions that you make, in a lot of cases, you're going to end up making the right decision because you're going to think about okay, is this particular thing that I'm going to do, is this honoring to God? Is this something that he would want me to do? Where can I find the God and the spiritual backing in this particular decision? If you cannot find a spiritual backing in that decision, you probably should not be making it, because it will lead to destruction. So when the first thing, when we have our option presented towards us, if we first think, how can I honor God in this particular choice? Then we are more likely to make the right choice in it. And I think
the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We often classify wisdom or see wisdom as our intelligence. Mm. Wisdom is not about your intelligence. It's submission. Lady Wisdom asks us to feast in something that she built, and it shows that order and preparation. There's no qualification to enter into her feast. It's all about humility. It's about acknowledging God as the ultimate source, submitting to his divine will and order, and accepting correction. We have a problem in accepting correction. We see it as almost destructive. I know one of my daughters, I had a conversation with her on something that transpired between us and something I said. And when I went to apologize, as I believe what I said was correct, but it may have been in the way I said it and where I said it. But the Lord, I asked the Lord to help me to explain it. And I had to break it down from the word of God as to why I said what I said. And I think it had to do something with how you present yourself as a young lady. And I had to really pray that through and show from scripture, hey, this lady in Proverbs presents herself from a wisdom perspective this way. And the foolish woman, you see, she's loud. She draws attention to herself. She's not acting as a wise person. And then once I clarified why I said what I said, then I had to pray and say, Lord, help her to understand that. Because the first thing is, I don't want to receive correction.
See, reverence makes us correctable. Humility in our hearts, understanding that meekness is the way, right? Being teachable. And Christ showed us that. He walked in meekness. And I believe that if we are, especially believers, someone has to be able to say, do it this way. Don't get offended by it. I remember one time we were in our church, we were preparing for an anniversary event, our 45th anniversary. And I was a part of the planning committee. And some, you know, there's a lot of people calling you, questioning you. You're repeating the same things over and over again. And one of the calls came in from one of our co-senior pastors. And I think he sensed a bit of agitation in my voice. And he said to me, a lot is going on with you. Hey, he's very bubbly and, you know, and I said, yes. He said, I want you to remember something. Always keep a good, he didn't say attitude, but the way he said it was like, always be approachable. Always remember why you're doing this. And he said it very quickly and briefly, but because he has that like energetic type personality, I didn't feel like I was wounded by that correction, but I remembered it. And that was almost 6 years ago.
See, because of wisdom and because wisdom. Of reverence of God, you
received it, and I apply it to my life every day when I feel like I'm overwhelmed or something is, things are coming at me fast. I remember to breathe and I remember try to keep a calm demeanor and have a good attitude towards it, even though it may be frustrating.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. Reverence leads and wisdom leads to humility and makes us teachable.
Yes.
And that's the key. That's what wisdom does. And so someone who is not in the word of God, someone who does not know the word of God, you may resist it because that's pride. Pride doesn't want you to tell them anything because it makes you, the person that's receiving it, seem weak.
That's what I'm getting at. And you hit the nail on the head. Pride rejects instruction.
It builds up a wall against truth entering your heart. And you have to recognize that and say, Lord, help me to receive this instruction, this correction. Because the Bible says no instruction when God corrects us. It isn't, you know, happy-go-lucky. It's painful at first. But it works a fruit of righteousness for those who what are trained by it. If you're not trained by correction, you're going to go down in folly and in shame.
I think it's also very clear in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 3. It says, she sent out her servants and she calls. And as I was researching, there's some interpretations that the servants could represent like pastors, ministers of the gospel who go out. And I think even furthermore, it represents people who pour into our lives and tell us that, hey, maybe, you know, you should consider this, or you should consider that. As wisdom, she sends her people out to help us, to teach us. And the wise person hears the invitation of wisdom and it responds to her servants. So when we go and when we receive correction from the servants of wisdom, it's always good to listen.
Yeah. And if you have a problem receiving it from somebody else, someone is telling you something and like, what do you know? How do you know my life? Mm-hmm. Right? Then go to God. That same thing that person said to you, if you have a problem receiving it, go to God and ask God, help me to see or understand if this is related to me. I always say, nobody can tell me anything about myself that's truthful that I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because I check myself first.
This reminds me of an experience I had recently where I had received a very harsh correction and I didn't receive it well at first. But when I went to God later that night and I prayed about it, God is so funny. He's like, okay, so this is what's right about the person they were saying. And on top of that, here's some other things that you can fix actually. I was like, okay. And then I had to receive that. I had to go back to the person and apologize and say, you know what? You're kind of right. So, that's always something that's been said.
I had something this week as well. And I was talking to Tamara about it. And because the way it came, it's not that I was shocked, but I was still surprised, right? And I just started to react. Because I didn't understand it, right? And I was talking to Tamara about it. And I said, I know what I'm supposed to do. But I just can't believe that this is happening like this. And she sent me a video or a Psalms 91 where I listened to it and I said, okay, God, you're telling me, okay, come to me now. I was waiting. And he says, come to me now. And it was really helpful, right? I didn't resist it. To say, why Tamara sending me this thing? Because I really don't want to be in this place right now. But when she sent me the word of God and I looked through that mirror and saw, okay, it's time now to go to God and sort this situation out. Mm-hmm. And so wisdom helps us to have a teachable spirit. And when someone who loves you, when someone who cares about you is giving you wise counsel, that is God reaching out to you. Mm-hmm. And we either use wisdom and receive it, or we be prideful and reject it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we know what happens when we go off that path on folly. It ends in destruction.
Yeah.
Finally, Tamara and Ariel, how does the structure of Proverbs chapter 9 expose the subtle appeal of foolishness?
I think in a way, it's the voice that draws us. You know, the Bible says we're drawn away from our own lusts and desires in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So if we're going on emotions and feelings, we're in problems. Mm-hmm. We already come out on the wrong foot. But wisdom requires us to know God's word, to know his heart, and to walk in obedience to the word of God.
When I was reading, I thought about this visual of these two houses. You have Lady Wisdom. She's inside. Her house is sturdy. Wisdom is sturdy. It's supporting. And she calls on her servant. She puts all this extra work to invite you. And I also visualize Lady Foolishness. Mm-hmm. And it's like she puts in no effort mm-hmm. because, and I think that also is very telling on how easy it is to follow Foolishness because mm-hmm. she's like, well, most people, like they're already going to come and they're going to answer. So it's like, I don't have to put in the actual work, but Lady Wisdom is like, she has to do all of this, these things. So I think it's a very different picture of how valuable wisdom is. When you come into Lady Wisdom's house, it produces life. It produces wholeness. It produces the fear of God. But when you easily, I would say, because it's always easy to go the foolish route, at least by the world standard. But when you follow Lady Foolishness, it's always going to lead to death.
And then Lady Foolie sounds harmless at first. Mm-hmm. She markets pleasure. Mm-hmm. But the thing about foolishness is it never shows you the consequences up front. You see something that's sweet. And like you mentioned, Tamara, it appeals to our emotions. But I'm reminded of my siblings. I'm the second oldest of five children. And so my brother moved off to live with my grandmother. When we were younger, I would tell them if they did something, I said, if you do this, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they would say, you always wishing bad on us. I said, I'm not wishing bad on you. I am just telling you, if you go down this path, then this is what's yeah. going to happen. And that's what foolishness does. That's it right. does not tell you or show you the consequences, or you're not concerned about the consequences. You're just in the emotions, in the good feeling. You made those decisions and it ends in destruction.
And when you talked about family, you know, the word says foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. But the rod of correction.
Well, you like this rod of correction thing?
Yeah, the word of God. Let's put it there. The word of God will drive it out.
We've come to the end of another episode. Tamara, close us out in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful. We thank you for your word, which is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you for wisdom found in Proverbs 9, for reminding us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, in the world with competing voices and constant invitation, help us to discern your voice above all others. Give us hearts that revere you, minds that submit to your truth, and spirits that desire righteousness more than fleeting pleasure. May our choices reflect our allegiance to Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Shape us by your Spirit so that we not only hear your word, be doers of it as well. And as we leave this conversation today, let wisdom build our homes, guide our relationships, and govern our steps. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tamara and Ariel. And thank you to you, our listening audience. Until next time, continue to trust in God.